Nicely with Martin Besser.
I mean, the whole world pretty much talking about the US elections.
Mm-hmm.
Donald Trump taking it over Kamala Harris. And you know what? You get caught up in it. You can't help. It's all over our timelines, I guess. All over the news. But the question is, what does it mean for us as South Africans? I think some people are happy or not happy for, I don't know, unknown reasons. Somanet.
I also think a lot of people think that it won't affect us. I think there's a lot more people who think, oh, that's got nothing to do with us, so I don't really care. I promise you, there are people out there who think like, that,
it's,
you
happening
know,
over there.
But that America has no effect on the rest of the world. Hey, sure. Aki Borio.
Yeah.
Well, let's have a chat about that. This may be news to people. Brooke Spector on the line, associate editor at the Daily Maverick. Brooks, how are you?
Oh, good morning. I'm still in a bit of a and slightly surprised state, but nevertheless, there we are. I am fascinated by your comment why should we care? It has no effect on us. It doesn't matter. I'm not interested. I mean, I'm getting some of that as well from other sources, and I'm astounded usually when I hear stuff like
yep.
that.
Yep. I mean, come on now. It is America, right? There's a reason why it captures the imagination of the world. But before we get there, I just want to say you have literally the coolest name of anyone I've ever spoke to. That's like a movie name right there. Brooks, thanks for your time. I really appreciate it. I think let's start right there. Should South Africans be happy or worried that Donald Trump is the new U.S. president, or that he is president again?
Yeah, well, I don't think they should either be happy or crying in their beer. I think they should be concerned about effects. They should be concerned about ideas and policies. And I think most importantly, they should spend some time reflecting on what they, their country, and their country's leaders can do to affect the relationship between the two countries. First of all, let's just put it in very simple economic terms. South Africa has a trade surplus with the United States. Trade surplus means jobs, employment, obviously. It means money for businesses. It means growth for the economy. You take away that trade surplus and then somebody hurts. Something falls. You often hear this acronym, AGOA, and, you know, people look at you and go, what in the world is that? You know, some sort of pet food. But what it is simply a law passed by the U.S. Congress that allows this country and most other African countries duty-free export of its goods and products to the United States. Now, if you're a small country and you don't export very much, it doesn't matter all that much. But this country isn't. And it does export things. It exports automobiles to the United States. Go ahead, be shot. Automobile parts, even leather car seats, and something else. We probably shouldn't have it this early in the morning, but good quality, high-end agricultural process products, like the stuff that comes in those wine bottles.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the world economy is such that a little bit of a difference in cost makes a big difference when the quality is good.
So talking about AGOA, would you, in your estimation, Kamala Harris versus Donald Trump, who would have been better? Is it going to stay in place?
Well, that's the problem. I mean, it's due to expire next year, 2025.
Mm.
And a number of Republicans in the U.S. Congress have already hinted that they don't think very highly of the idea of South Africa continuing to be the beneficiary of it if it continues. And there are some people who would argue that because Donald Trump is the way he is on trade issues generally, he's not particularly interested in anything that looks like an altruistic gesture or a unilateral gesture, of which AGOA is. And he keeps making noises throughout the campaign and that the best medicine for American manufacturing is high tariffs on the imports from products around the world. And that would include South Africa, because South Africa is part of the world, right?
Brooks, Felicity here. Just a quick question. Does our president and Donald Trump, do they have a good relationship, or is it kind of standoffish?
I don't know. In public, when you see the photographs of the occasional meetings, they look collegial enough. But, you know, it isn't always president to president that matters. It's what happens a little further down in the weeds, whether the, say, the Secretary of State and the minister and the Durco minister get along nicely, whether the deputies and the assistants do. And I mean, it's a little heavy going for a morning conversation. But one of the things that worries me is that South African government officials who go to the U.S. to have negotiations and discussions and meetings of one type or another, they spend an awful lot of time getting the nice photograph and getting the formal meeting, but they don't really spend enough time dealing with congressional staff members.
Yeah.
Now, unlike, say, the parliament here, where the staff is, you know, they're more glorified servants than they are anything else, congressional staffers have an awful lot of power and influence. And as a result, you know, those are the people you need to convince. You need to make sure they understand your concerns and even that they are sympathetic for them.
Good morning, Brooks. It's Gada from the newsroom. It has been the year of global elections. The whole world voted this year, and America by no means was the biggest one of all of this. And it comes at the end of this year. What did the rest of the world learn from the American elections and the way the people voted? The Make America Great Again, the issues for America, because when they sneeze, we're all going to get that cold. What is it that's coming?
Well, lay in a good supply of Kleenex, I think, is part of the thing.
Wow.
Yeah, that's a man instantly. That, you know, all that stuff will help. No, it's an excellent question. And I think what the rest of the world, well, I mean, first of all, you're absolutely right. There are something like 70 some elections in the world this year. And the biggest one, of course, is India, which, you know, it is a multiple in size of the United States. But what the world learned about American politics and American society is that it wasn't only what we see on the news channels or read in the, you know, in the good newspapers about the nature of the changing American society. There are all these people, many of whom don't have university educations, didn't go to the fine schools, aren't bloggers and don't, that they're worried, they're angry, and they're anxious about the way the trends in the world, and they were looking for somebody who could come along and say, I'll take care of it, I can fix it. If you wanted to be uncharitable, you'd say, there, I'll kiss that boo-boo and take care of everything. And that's a worrying trend, because that's something of the kind of thing you see in a lot of other countries too. Somebody comes along and says, I can take care of everything, just give me your votes and I'll solve it all, because I'll get rid of the annoying problems if you just give me your votes. And that really isn't the idea behind democracy or representative government, that you know, you just hand over the reins of authority to somebody and say, there, they'll fix everything, I can go back to my life. And I think that's a, you know, something, I'm sorry, I don't mean to jump the topic slightly, but one of the trends in this country that should worry us is the number of people who show up to vote in elections here. And it's been declining ever since 1994. Every time there's an election, the percentage drops a little further. And what that tells you, that there is this big group of people who somehow don't think politics can fix anything.
Did Donald Trump do something right, or did Kamala Harris do something wrong? What was the deciding factor, do you think?
Yes and yes. let's take what Kamala Harris did wrong, first of all. The narrative that I see developing now already is that she put too much faith in the idea that the issues that she was making the centerpiece of her campaign, defense of democracy and the democratic behavior, A, and B, a defense of women's reproductive rights, important that they were, but that they were trumped, sorry for the pun, by issues that Donald Trump was highlighting as his issues. And they were what? They were immigration and they were immigration and the economic circumstances of the country. It doesn't mean that the country wasn't growing, that there wasn't low unemployment and job growth and inflation was dropping and the unemployment was low, the kind of record most countries want. It's that people felt at home in the evening when they looked at their bills and they tried to figure out how they were going to pay for things. They said, wait a minute, this isn't right. I'm working hard. I'm not getting ahead. I'm losing ground. A dozen eggs cost me how much? And that kind of thing created not just an anxiety, but a sort of a silent kind of anger about the economic policies that talking about all the good statistics simply couldn't solve. So Trump figured out those two issues were going to work, and Kamala Harris never really had a good answer for either of them.
I think it's, and I agree with you, he said the right things that the right people wanted to hear at the right time. In the right place, in the right room.
In the right way.
Sometimes for many of us comes across as just plain garish and crass.
Crass
is a good word, but that's how it cuts through, and that's how it lands. That's how it lands with the people that you need the votes from. Brooks, I could literally sit here and speak to you for hours. We have to get into the news now. I really appreciate your time. Thank you very much for the insight. Thank you for the conversation. And I hope we can speak again.
No problem. I appreciate it. Anytime. Just have your producers get a hold of me. I'm available 28 hours a day.
Thank you, Brooks. Brooks Spector there, Associate Editor at the Daily Maverick. I appreciate your time. Shed Vival Word, put it up for podcast for you.
You're with your own family. Breakfast with Martin Bester.